Consider the mega hits of modern musical theater. Jesus Christ Superstar, Evita, The Phantom of the Opera, plus a poetic tale set in a junkyard populated entirely by singers and dancers dressed as felines, cats gathered for a ball. That's just a short list of the hit musicals composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber, since he started mounting shows in a toy theater as a boy in London. As he tells it in his new memoir, Unmasked, Lloyd Webber's father was a working-class boy whose own musical talent turned him into an academic and composer. His mother was an educator obsessed with raising a musical prodigy. Young Andrew's glamorous Aunt Vi offered massive connections to London's theater and TV world, and always, at every turn in his life, was a cat. Andrew Lloyd Webber joins us from our New York bureau. Welcome.
Hello, hi.
Hi, really nice to have you. And Cats does seem like a good place to start. At one point, it was the longest running show on Broadway, and it seems to have started with a cat by the name of Perseus.
Yes, well, Perseus was the family cat when I was a little boy. He lived through into my teens, and he was a lovely, lovely old Siamese cat. But really, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, the T.S. Eliot poems, was the source and the inspiration for Cats. My mum used to read them to me in the poems when I was a kid, and they stayed with me forever. And one of the things, when I was working with Tim Rice on the three big musicals we did, Chosen with the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Evita, it was during Evita that I realised that, on the whole, I had written the melodies before Tim had written a lyric. Although we did all the plots together and we worked out where we wanted the songs and how we wanted them, the lyric came after the tune, and I wanted to see if I could compose to existing verse. So I started doing it almost as a bit of fun, you know, at home, to see if I could set poems that were already written.
This is a crazy thing to ask, maybe, but why are cats so cool?
Well, of course, what Eliot brilliantly did with the cat poems was he gave all of the cats human characteristics, so we recognise something of the human in the cat that he's describing. And we also all know that cats are, shall we say, Michiganer, they're naughty, and you get cats like the Rum-Tum Tugger, you know, when he's in and you want to be out and all of that kind of thing. Eliot brilliantly summed up human traits and cat traits in the same poem. They're brilliantly witty, but of course what made cats really work was the fact that when I thought seriously that I might do a concert piece, which is where I thought Cats might go, I was given by Valerie, his widow, some ideas that he had for a much bigger event. And of course, a poem about Grisabella the Glamour Cat, who was considered to be too sad for children. So that poem was cut from the book. But with that, of course, was unlocked what became the storyline that in the end gave us the song Memory. And so that was a huge moment.
Can smile at the old days. I was beautiful then.
I mean, Memory was almost an afterthought in a way. When the whole thing was completed, we felt we lacked an emotional centre for the piece. And Memory came quite late on in the proceedings.
You write that some consider the project, The Phantom of the Opera, and I'm quoting you here, decidedly dodgy. Why? Why would they have thought that?
Well, there are always going to be people who think that a subject for a musical is not going to work. I mean, there had been Phantoms of the Opera before. You know, I didn't know them, but there had been. Look, if you think about what are the four big musicals right now on Broadway, and you think of what their plots are, the new ones, well, think of Hamilton, really, and think if somebody had come in 3 or 4 years ago and said to you, look, I've got this idea for a hip-hop show about a less well-known than perhaps some founder father of America, you'd have said, hang on a moment, I'm not sure about that. If you'd thought about Come From Away and about the idea of a whole load of people turning up in Gander because the flights were all diverted and what happened to them, you'd think, well, is that necessarily a great idea for a musical? I mean, you could go on, the band's visit, an Egyptian band turning up in Tel Aviv, not knowing where they're supposed to go. I mean, it's a brilliant musical, but on paper, it sounds a really, really daft idea. And that's what I think about musicals. I think anything that actually sounds on paper as if it's a brilliant idea is probably a bad one.
And how do you know? I mean, if you do, but how do you know when it could be magical?
You never necessarily know. The thing about musical theatre is that it's unbelievably collaborative, and every ingredient of a musical has to be right. It's not just me with the music. I mean, I get very involved with the plot, but the plot has to be a great plot. I don't think a great score can save a bad plot. I mean, maybe Cats is an exception, but because it doesn't really have a plot. But in the main, a bad plot can't be saved by a great score, whilst I think an okay score can be carried by a great plot. It's so many ingredients. The set and design has got to be right. Something I was told very early in my career by Harold Prince was that you can't really enjoy a musical if the design of the show is all wrong for the material. And for example, Phantom of the Opera, the design of the show, which Maria Bjornsson produced, triumphantly fits what I wrote with the music. And it's rare. It's very, very rare in musical theatre that all those ingredients really come together.
So you have all these influences, but how far back do you think you were who you came to be?
Oh, I can't answer that question.
Well, I mean, as a child, it seemed like you were doing things that not every child was doing, like the little toy theater that
you had. Yes, I had my own theater, and I put on ghastly musicals, which bored parents were made to come and listen to. I loved it all from the very earliest times I can remember. I mean, it was a parallel love of mine. I had a huge love of architecture, and history still is the subject that I also pretty passionate about, particularly medieval history, which interests me a lot. But theatre overtook, and it became the thing I loved. And I knew pretty early on, I knew in my teens, that that's what I really wanted to do.
You also have an album coming out next week, also called Unmasked, connected to the memoir. Talk to us about that.
Oh, this album is a very, very sweet thing the record company have done, which is a sort of, I suppose, an album for my 70th birthday, which is not exactly a new album, although there are a few new tracks on it of songs that have been cut by other artists who have not done them before, like Lana Del Rey. And so it's a great excitement for me, but it's really a sort of compendium of some of my best songs.
Do you have a favorite cover?
Oh, well, I never like to single things out, but there's a pretty good version of I Am the Starlight from Starlight Express by Misha Paris. And there are some really, really good things. The Lana Del Rey track of You Must Love Me, which was the song that Tim Rice and I added into Evita for the film. She does that beautifully.
Deep in my heart, I'm concealed.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's book is called Unmasked. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you.
Why are you at my side? How can I be any use to you now? Give me a chance.